I was waiting to hear it from Mace. Mace is on Comrex today. Ireland is here in the house with us. How was your Thanksgiving, fellas?
Well, I was in San Antonio, so it was not all that it could be cracked up to be, that's for sure.
Did you enjoy Riverwalk Thanksgiving or something like that?
No, none of the above. Just I did get out and play golf with Austin Reeves, who missed a hole-in-one by 1 inch.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's never had one, but he missed it by 1 inch. Not kidding.
Did you guys leave San Antonio on Saturday after the game?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. We were there. We flew in on Thanksgiving Day. We were there Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Do you celebrate Thanksgiving with the team? Like how does that go?
We
do you
had
get some turkeys?
We had they did a dinner for all the broadcasting.
Okay,
So that was fun and that was nice for the Lakers to do. So I ate with Michael and Stu and Billy Mack and Trudell and all those guys. So that was fun. But I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I probably have 25 times. Somebody at the league office hates the Lakers because we were kneecapped this year out of Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. We're on the road for all five. So, and that's never happened before.
Any idea who alienated
somebody?
No, but
I've always thought that there's a Laker tax. I'll give you guys another example. They just announced the NBA Players of the Week.
Okay.
And the NBA Western Conference Player of the Week is DeAndre Ayton. On Wednesday of the week in which Ayton won the award,
oh my gosh.
Anthony Davis went 37, 21, 5 blocks, 5 steals against
DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
For the week, AD was 30 points, 18 rebounds, 67%. Ayton was 24 points, 15, less in every category. Yet there's a Laker tax.
That makes no sense.
They want to give the Lakers nothing. I don't know if it's because we have an agent for a GM or it's because we're the Lakers or whatever, but that's
Slee, it. Slee pushed back on me a little bit when I said that the Lakers were hot. 5 out of 6. I didn't say they're good, but 5 out of 6 is hot, right?
You know there's a difference between hot and good.
Sure, of course there is.
No, you use the right word. They're hot.
Yeah, they're hot.
And it's easier to get hot when the other team is bad, and that's been the case.
Well, and here's the funny thing. I'm not – listen, the Lakers starting the season out 2-10 and getting a chance – if they beat the Pacers and the Blazers, I don't want to talk ahead of myself, they'd be 9-11. You'd be 25% through the season, and you're actually close to .500. That's unbelievable. So I don't want to take anything away from them, but it was just funny to hear you describe it that way. I was like, oh, well, that threw me off a little bit.
It is what it is. You win 5 out of 6, you're hot. Mace, are you there?
Yes, I am here, checking in.
There you go.
Checking in. Sibilance. Check.
How was your holiday, Mace?
I'll be honest. It was not the greatest of holidays.
You've been sick, right?
I came down with a case of this, RSV.
Ooh.
That has been going around. So I've.
What does RSV stand for? The R is respiratory, right?
Yeah.
What's the SV?
Really sucks.
Sucks very much.
I'm guessing
very
the V much, is virus.
Like that. Yeah. Yes. What's the V is the virus. S? Really sucks virus. I don't know.
There it could be.
Respiratory something or other. So I was in bed for a lot of the time. Didn't get to go see mom and not stepdad Leo out in the desert because I didn't want to bring sick home to them and all that kind of stuff. But I got to watch a lot of games. I was excited by the SC game on Saturday night. They looked fantastic. I wish I had been there because it looked like the Coliseum was rocking for the first time really this year.
It looked like it used to look. It looked like it looked when they were competing for national championships, when they were competing to get into the college football playoff. It has not looked like that for a really long time.
I was thinking about something. In terms of executive moves in the history of Los Angeles, okay? When USC named Carol Folt president and Mike Bone athletic director, for a good year and a half, everyone hated those two.
Yep.
Even the SC people hated them. I heard from, I live on a street that's 90% SC alums. Grew up in Newport Beach, which is the number one feeder city to USC. Everybody I heard from, Carol Folt doesn't get it. Mike Bone is incompetent. That's the word you heard more than anything else to describe those two, is incompetent. And in one move, They pay Lincoln Riley $100 million. I have not heard the name Carol Folt or Mike Bone since that day.
And that's, by the way, it's the way it should be.
Right.
You shouldn't have to know the name of your university president or even the AD in order to go and root for your team. The thing that they were handicapped by or, or hamstrung by is the fact that they had all this outstanding litigation and all kinds of stuff, so they didn't focus on the football program because they couldn't focus on the football program. That's why Clay Helton had to hang around for a couple of years, and ultimately, when they did make that announcement, it was out of the blue.
Yep.
There were no rumors. I didn't see any college football reporters say, well, they're talking.
Well, I'll take it a step further. I live two doors down from Bruce Feldman, who's the best college football reporter in the country. Bruce didn't hear about it until the morning they announced it. Yeah. In other words, like, he got tipped at like 10 in the morning, mm-hmm. and they announced it at 1 o'clock. He's normally weeks ahead of that stuff.
It wasn't. Quite honestly, it felt like the opportunities that SC had to hire the guy were maybe a thing of the past. Because you when you see the candidates that they were always bringing up, it felt like you were either looking for an up-and-coming guy or a guy who was kind of middle of the road, another Pac-12 guy, that they were able to go pick one of the best coaches in the country out of another prestigious program. It's not like Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, where obviously he's going to take an upgrade at some point. Maybe it's Wisconsin, but he had one of those programs. Oklahoma is one of those programs, and they basically said whatever it takes. And we all know the package that they put together for him. But not only did they get the right guy, then the right guy went out and got the right guys. That you go out and get Williams, you get Addison, you rebuild that offensive line, you go through everything that they've done. They didn't miss a trick, and that's what SC is. You can get it back like that there, like you can't anywhere else.
It would have been great had Lincoln Riley just taken Mario Williams from Oklahoma and brought him here, mm-hmm. which he did. But when he went and got Caleb, and then he went and got Dye, and then he went and got Addison, Mario Williams almost fell into the afterthought pile.
It's staggering. The turnaround in 1 year is just, I mean, a year ago we were sitting here saying they were 4-8 and they were irrelevant and nobody talked about USC, and they were boring and dull and all that stuff.
Gave up 65 points to UCLA.
Got embarrassed by UCLA. Mm-hmm. And to sit here now, a year later, I mean, what he has done is he's raised the program from the dead. I mean, but I think you're right, Brian, or Travis. The ingredients were always there for this thing to turn around.
It is
USC. It is, all of the resources that USC has got. It is a name brand in college football. And that's why I think at the end of the day, as long as they win, and I don't know what the playoff system is going to say tomorrow night, but as long as they win. On Friday, they're in the playoffs.
All right, I'm gonna throw this at you, Trav. It's not even just look a couple weeks ago. Even a couple weeks ago, the conversation was, I didn't think they were gonna win all three of these.
I didn't think
UCLA, Notre Dame, and they still got obviously win on Friday. But even a couple weeks ago, the conversation was still not, you're gonna get in the college football championship. It was, hey, put some respect. See what happens. Even if they're in the Rose Bowl, what a great accomplishment. They all went away from getting in. Caleb Williams probably locked up the Heisman Trophy Award. That the fact that they're now one away from making all that happen his first year.
So I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. Al and I were talking about this earlier. Short of an absolute disastrous Friday night, like a 4-5 interception game and they get housed by Utah, is there anything he can do to not win the Heisman Trophy at this point? It feels like he put with the performance against UCLA in front of the entire country, with the performance against Notre Dame in front of the entire country, it feels like it is his trophy at this point, short of an absolute disaster on Friday.
Completely agree with that. And, in fact, I think the second guy in the Heisman Trophy odds is C.J. Stroud, who had a terrible game against Michigan.
And doesn't have any more games.
No,
he can't shake it off.
Yeah, and I think Heisman Trophies are won late in the year. Heisman Trophies are won in marquee games that everybody is watching, like that SC Notre Dame game. That's when you actually
see that UCLA game was nationally televised.
Sure. And that was too, right. And this next one, although it's a Friday, it'll be nationally televised, but it's again against they're still ranked, right? Oregon's still ranked, right?
Well, they play Utah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Utah's still ranked.
Yeah, not only are they ranked, Mace, I think they're like 12th or 13th. They're highly ranked.
And the best news is he can avenge his one loss, in which he had a good game the first time. It was the defense's fault.
You guys like it that they got Utah instead of Oregon? Because Oregon felt as crazy as their coach is going for it on fourth down every single time.
He's got 2 L's on Saturday himself.
But that was a team that's got a really good quarterback that can make a bunch of plays, that can score a bunch of points. This feels like potentially a better matchup for them.
I like it for the sake of closure. In other words, they did lose to Utah. Winning now would actually send a message that, yeah, we lost by a point on the road but yeah, we're really a lot better than that. So I think there's sort of a cherry on top is beating Utah in the championship game.
So John or Mace, you have RSV and you're in bed, you're watching games on TV. That's a bad Thanksgiving holiday. But did you hear Emily's saga that she had over the weekend?
What now with this girl? What?
Emily, would you like to tell it or would you like me to do it?
Well, I noticed, Em, you're wearing a mask. Does that have something to do with this story?
Yes.
Yeah. So okay. I'm tested negative, so okay, don't worry about that. But I was feeling poor last Sunday, and that's the day I was supposed to fly out. So I thought, okay, maybe I'm just tired. I'd been up late the last two nights, so I'm just going to push through it, get to South Carolina. So got to South Carolina, worked. It was an overnight, so I got there on Monday morning, worked the show. I was barely conscious while working the show, and then afterwards, I went right to bed. So then Tuesday, I got a COVID test, and I tested positive.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yep.
Your first COVID test, when you tested negative, was that a home test?
No, negative now.
Oh,
yeah.
Were any of these home tests?
No, they're all from CVS.
I think you guys know that I tested positive for COVID 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a home test on a Tuesday, and I was negative. But I still felt lousy. So Wednesday, I went to the doctor, and he goes, well, let me just test you. I know you got tested yesterday, but let me just test you because you're here. And that's when it was positive. I don't trust those home tests.
Yeah, they feel
the
like...
home tests are hit and miss. There are a lot of false negatives and a lot of false positives.
It's 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, so what's the point of taking the test, really?
Right. Wait, she's not done yet, by the way. She's just getting started.
Okay, just get warmed up.
Right, so go ahead. I interrupted you.
Then,
so now you test positive on Tuesday.
Yes, the elderly have not arrived at the house yet, which is good. But my family that I stayed at, the place I stayed at has two master bedrooms, so I set up in the one master bedroom and my aunt and uncle in the other one, and I have a little balcony where my family can sit on the ground and socialize with me from the balcony. And
oh
then
no,
I she's Rapunzel'd up in the upper
exactly.
balcony.
Exactly. And then I had an old TV in there, and this TV is the oldest TV I've seen in years. It's
black and white?
Not black and white, but it has a VHS player and a DVD player still.
Love
so
it.
It's attached to it. And so,
just so you understand, a VHS to her is like black and white for you and me.
Yeah, true.
Right. And so then I, feel crappy, left South Carolina on Friday, wore masks and stuff on the plane. And then I got back to here, and my car is parked at Amanda's because she lives right next to the airport. And I try to get into my car, and the car is locked but will not open. I have a fob that's a remote control, will not open. I try a bunch of things. And so then I also try the, hidden key in my fob. There's no ridges in it, so it does not open my car. So then I Uber back home. Again, this is after a long trans.
And you still have COVID.
I still have COVID at this point. And so then on Saturday morning, I wake up, go to AutoZone, get a new battery for my fob. Doesn't really work. And
that didn't solve the problem.
Didn't solve the problem.
Okay.
Uber to my car. I have to call AAA. They unlock my car and they jump my car, and my battery is essentially dead. So I'm going to have to get my battery replaced. This battery is less than a year old. So I'm just, it was a very rough week for Emily.
So Mace, you had RSV, but you didn't have to fly across the country twice with it and then
correct.
Get back to LAX and have a dead
and
battery.
Just your car's not working.
Yeah,
she,
and then you wrecked your car, Slee. Is that the other thing?
I didn't wreck my car. There was a tire traveling.
Is your car
on the
drivable?
Currently, it's at a body shop.
Yeah, then you wrecked your car.
Wreck my car.
Sounds like three of the four of us had less than optimal Thanksgiving.
And then John,
you're the big winner.
I had a wonderful
John had
time.
Thanksgiving in San Antonio.
Yeah,
had a tire traveling on the four on the five. Just
well, at least Travis had a good.
Yeah, I got to spend time with friends and family, and had a nice meal, and
he
traveled
keeps
safely.
Asking, and he keeps asking for these stories to be repeated. He's just wants to embrace.
Well,
Travis,
if you want
more.
To, you can go with me on Thursday. And do all the garden spots on this next trip.
Where you
Milwaukee,
ooh.
Cleveland, ooh. D.C., all of them.
D.C. is not so bad, right?
That's well, it's except that we leave for Toronto immediately after the game and play there the next night.
So you're in and out.
And have to go through customs in the middle of all that. I think if you're going to pick a game that the Lakers might struggle, pick the Toronto game. Okay. Yeah, because we're going to get in about 5 in the morning. But yeah, this is the cold weather December nightmare trip. And by I heard you guys talking about the Lakers. I think this trip, this 6-game trip, will let us know if this previous 6 games is for real.
Come back 3-3.
Yeah, I would take 3-3 right now.
Yeah.
2-4 with the teams that you're playing, too, would feel from what it's weird. Where they started was a disaster.
Yeah.
Got a little bit better. And now for the last 6 games, even the game they lost, they played reasonably well against
a
good team. They're in the game. So, look, like you said, Al, you get to the quarter pole of the season and you're near 500. That's a huge success considering how they started, because that does – I understand the beginning of the season, you said 500 through 20 games. Yeah, whatever. But what were they, 2-8?
2-10.
2-10.
2-10, yeah.
2-10 to get to 500 at that point or close to it, that's a huge win.
Yeah, but I think like Mason already has declared that they are not going to be in the postseason, that they're out. And I think most Laker fans feel that way after the 2-10 start. I've said all along, I thought they were going to be around 500 after 20 games because of the schedule.
Even with the 2-10 start.
Yeah. I think that now, though, this 6-game trip is going to be hard.
You think that it's more December less likely is brutal, or the same, that they make a deal considering that they've gotten a little bit of mo?
I think they'll do something. I don't know what they'll do, but I think they'll do something. Rob almost always does something every year. So I don't know what it is, but I'm
more interested in it now than I was 2 weeks ago, because then it just seemed like you're shuffling deck chairs at that point. But
yeah, now it's not like just straight losing. Now there's reasons. There are actually reasons for optimism. I mean, Westbrook's been great off the bench, and Anthony Davis is playing like a guy we haven't seen in
apparently
a while.
Apparently not the player of the week.
No, not good enough to be the player of the week. Yeah.
Not enough to top DeAndre Ayton.
Refresh my memory. Who's the guy that hit Russ in the head and split him open?
Zach Collins.
Zach Collins got very lucky that LeBron was there. That could have gone a different way.
Well, or you could say that a different way. Russ got very lucky that LeBron was there.
Well, that too, yeah.
Because if Russ goes – That's right. You know what, on yep. Zach Collins' face, then Patrick Beverley has company in the penalty box.
Well, when you get that amount of blood, too, you're thinking, okay, this is about to get real. LeBron has saved the day on multiple occasions. Happy Thanksgiving. Good to see you guys again. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bah! Hey, what's up, people? Is this thing on?
Yes, is this on? Hello.
Is this on?
Check.
Hello.
Sibilance.
All right, there
Sibilance.
You go. Now I'm hearing it. What's going on? Rams, blah.
What is it? You know, you're not expecting anything at this point, right?
No. It's I thought, you know, to lose, they were in it. They were in it for a while yesterday. They wind up losing the game, but I think that when you get down to it, the season is I declared it over a while back, and it's not a surprise. I hope that they put forth a good showing in the weeks to come, John. In the weeks to come, including a Thursday night game against the Raiders at SoFi.
And when is that?
It's a week from Thursday.
All right. So they play next Sunday.
They play Sunday against Seattle.
Okay.
And then they've got home to the Raiders the following Thursday.
Well, on paper, both winnable games. Seattle lost to the Raiders yesterday. The Raiders have found ways to lose all year. And Josh Jacobs ran wild yesterday, or they would have lost again.
Boy, I'll tell you, you traded me a winner in Josh Jacobs. You traded him when he was at his dead low value in fantasy.
I traded him too early. This is not my year in fantasy. Like, I did two huge mistakes. First one was I took Justin Herbert instead of Patrick Mahomes. when he was there, and then you took Mahomes.
Yep.
And then after 3 weeks of Josh Jacobs doing absolutely nothing, I asked Matthew Berry, is there any reason why I shouldn't trade this guy? He goes, no, I'm not high on him. So I traded him to you, and ever since I traded him to you, he's run wild. So are you still in the money? Are you still in the top five?
Yeah, still in the – I lost yesterday because I've lost Cooper Kupp, so my team is –
Yeah, so I think you're third.
Is damaged, but I think generally speaking, I'm going to finish in the money. I think I'm 9-3 as of right now. So I would call that a win.
Yeah, no, you're going to finish in the money, which is all you want in that league.
By the way, it's Million Dollar Monday. At some point today, you will hear a special sounder, and when you hear that – be caller number 7 at 877-710-ESPN. Don't call now. It's when you hear the sounder. You get a chance to win a pair of tickets to see, I think it is Rams-Raiders, right? It is Rams-Raiders. You also qualify to win $1 million by giving us the two Super Bowl teams and the final score. That could happen at any time.
I think that's a coin flip, believe it or not. The Raiders have been better lately, but they still can't get out of their own way. And by that point, I think the Rams might. I like Bryce Perkins. I don't know what you think, but I don't hate him at quarterback. I think he's pretty good.
I do not think he is ready at all to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
You wouldn't play Wolford in front of him, would you? Wolford's hurt, so that's why they're playing Perkins.
I think the idea is to find out what Perkins is capable of, right? Like he scrambles with the ball a little bit, ran for 44 yards, only threw 23 passes, had the two picks. I think that there is no reason to believe that Bryce Perkins is some sort of turnaround artist. I think that in the end, this season, and I had this conversation yesterday. Do you think they should even bring Matthew Stafford back again this season? I saw Aaron Rodgers ask this question a little while ago on NFL Live on ESPN. And Aaron Rodgers said, I want to keep playing until we're mathematically eliminated. Now, I don't know what that distinction happens to be. Have the Rams been mathematically eliminated?
I don't think so.
They've got 8 losses.
Yeah, I think that there are teams that are going to finish 9-8 that are going to make the playoffs. And so as long as they could finish 9-8, which they still could, right?
Because they have the 15th – they're number 15 in the NFC among playoff teams top to bottom.
They're 3-8, John.
Only one
right, but no, he was just asking if they're mathematically eliminated. I would say no. I'd say if you finish 9-8, you win the you make the playoffs.
Yeah, they go 6-0.
Yeah, sure. I'm not counting on it. I'm not going to bank on that. Not going to bank on that. So anyways, the Rams are the Rams, and it's disappointing and it's disheartening and all that stuff. I think we should start with USC though.
I think I texted you over the weekend. I think they are going to the playoff. I think if they can get to the championship game, which is in SoFi, they have a real chance. It depends where they stand after this weekend. So if they're the 4, they would have to play Georgia in the first round, right?
Yes.
If they're the 3, they'd play Michigan.
Correct.
I think they can beat Michigan. I don't know about Georgia.
I think they can beat Michigan, though. Georgia's awfully tough. I mean, do you think that
do we know, Bergman, where those games would be, where the semifinal games are?
Georgia, yes. Atlanta, and Arizona, Phoenix.
All right, so that's would right. Georgia be allowed to play in Atlanta? That's basically a home game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they really can. Would be a home game for them, yeah.
So, but I would like, right now, undefeated TCU and one loss USC. I think you can make an argument USC should be the 3 and TCU should be the 4. USC played a much harder schedule than TCU.
Much harder schedule. And and TCU, actually, if you look at their margins of victory, not great margins of victory. A lot of teams have hung around with TCU. I think USC is a better football team than TCU is. I mean, I thought defensively the Trojans showed up to play on Saturday, too. They held Notre Dame to 90 yards rushing. All of a sudden you couldn't run the ball on USC, which was great, and kept the score down. I expected Notre Dame to trade punches with USC. Instead, USC got some big stops in that series. And do you realize that on 35% of their plays, they went for more than 10 yards? 35% of all plays from scrimmage, they went for more than 10 yards, USC did. So that offense, and I don't care, you know, Caleb Williams is the Heisman Trophy winner. I can't imagine he does anything in that game on Friday.
I don't even know if he could, Mace.
I think
even if he had his worst game of the year, he'd still win the Heisman. You can start voting for the Heisman as early as today.
And by the way, do you think Caleb Williams – boy, first of all, the amazing thing is we've got him for another year.
At least.
We've got Caleb Williams for another year. And the thing about him, too, is he projects so well. He's going to be the greatest quarterback to come out of USC, I think. The greatest quarterback to come out of USC to go and play on Sunday.
Well, Carson Palmer was an excellent NFL quarterback. Not a Hall of Fame quarterback, but excellent NFL quarterback. Other than him, there hasn't been, you know, Pat Hayden had a decent NFL career. Vince Evans had a decent NFL career. Rodney Peete had a decent NFL career.
Sure.
You're right. He has a chance to be the best. If he can be better than Carson, which it won't be easy. Carson was really good in the NFL. Went to the Super Bowl, played for three different teams, was good in all three places. I'll say this about Caleb Williams. I think Andrew Luck's the best college quarterback I've ever seen. Caleb is right there with Andrew Luck. He's the best college quarterback. I mean, he just never gets rattled. What's he got, like 40 TDs and something like three interceptions?
Yeah, three picks.
And he's a great runner.
He's a great runner.
He doesn't do stupid stuff.
Make bad mistakes.
Okay, I got a tweet here from Julio. He tweeted it to all of us. What about UCLA? The Bruins have had a fantastic season, and under Kelly, UCLA has been better every single season. No love for UCLA and only USC. Julio, USC and UCLA play each other every year for a reason. To the victors go the spoils. DTR had a good season. Caleb Williams had a great season. And when the chips were down, when it mattered the most, DTR came up short and Caleb Williams came up big. That's why USC gets all the coverage. They're getting a chance to play for this is LA. You don't get a lot of love going to the Sun Bowl or
Star effing driven town.
There you go. Caleb Williams is a legit star. DTR might be a backup in the NFL. Maybe.
Deep backup.
Yeah, maybe. Is he Brett
backup?
Hundley?
Yeah. No, I don't think he's as good as Brett Hundley. I don't think he projects as a quarterback in the NFL is the only thing. I don't know where he would project outside of it, but he's a one-read guy that doesn't have what it takes at the end of games. He falters at the end of the game. He just did it again on Friday versus Cal. They had a chance to just go up by two scores, and he couldn't get in the end zone, and they had to win off of receiving a fumble. So
yeah,
UCLA
is a fifth place team. That's why they're not getting any love.
Yeah, and one has a chance to play for the national championship, and the other one doesn't. I mean, ultimately, that's the answer at the end of the day. If the shoe was on the other foot, if UCLA had run the table, and we were talking about that, we'd talk about them going to the national title game.
Right. Oh, here's another tweet from Mark Mongi. I can't stand Southern Cal students, alumni, and fans. Can't think of a more entitled group of a-holes, just really bad people as a whole. But the absolute worst is having to be here and hear Steve Mason fanboy and blubber on all about it. Mark, when your team is 11-1,
yes,
you're allowed to blubber away. Yeah, I was just going to say. It's not just Mason, trust me. Yeah. SC fans are enjoying their day.
I'm sure your
day
street is all lit up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. I'm nervous.
They deserve it. USC deserves it. They've been great.
I'm nervously optimistic about Friday. Nervously optimistic.
Well, you're going to score 35, 40 points. It's just a matter of how many you give up.
Am I a bad guy for wanting them to lose very badly?
Yeah, you're bad. No,
this makes me, I don't want them to win. I want Utah to just run right through them.
Okay,
just absolutely destroy them.
Greg, does it matter that if they go to the college football playoff, every team in the Pac-12, including UCLA, gets $10 million?
I mean, take the money when you can get it, but that doesn't affect me in any sense.
It helps UCLA, $10 million.
Sure, but they're going to be leaving anyway to go to Big Ten soon.
You can buy a few more good players in the portal.
Yeah, but that doesn't change my fact of that I don't want USC to have anything nice.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad we've got a shot.
And
at
it's too late.
Champion.
Yeah. No. They are looking. They're going to get the Heisman. I can tell you that right now.
By the way, also coming up at some point today, we're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets to the Pac-12 championship game in Vegas, USC versus Utah.
Are we really?
Yeah. Make sure you stay tuned for that.
It's like a real prize
on the show. Yeah.
It's like somebody else's show.
Oh, because the $1 million was not a real prize.
It's a really real prize. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really real. All right. Coming up next for you. Is there such a thing as an announcer's jinx? Now, apparently you talked about this last week.
I've never believed in it. Still don't believe in it. But there is audio proof that I may be wrong.
Yeah, evidence
also,
to the contrary.
Also, guy walks up to me the other day. This was a guy on the road, in Phoenix. Walks up to me and goes, "Hey, I know what Mason's Grubhub password is." I go, "Oh, you do, huh? What is it?" Nailed it.
He got it right?
Nailed it.
No way.
Wow. I go, "That's amazing." I said, "You know, Mason still hasn't got it."
It was somebody in San Antonio?
No,
that
in Phoenix. In Phoenix, who was a Laker fan who was down there for Thanksgiving listening to, but he listens to us. He lives in LA and listens to us. But we should do that next, Mace.
Okay, we'll do that.
You've guessed, I think, over 20 times. I changed Mason's Grubhub password because he was ordering too many donuts. And I said, "It'll be a fun little game. You'll figure it out in a couple of days." That was a month ago.
Yeah, kill the game.
The only way to kill it is for you to figure it out.
Yep.
And you can try next.
All right. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Bam.
I don't think I'll ever like the Bam.
Bam!
Why? What's wrong with the Bam?
I don't know. It just doesn't seem like him. Like Bam. It's an Emeril Lagasse thing. It's not
Bam.
What's
wrong with Emeril Lagasse?
There's nothing wrong with Emeril Lagasse.
It's Morales' own Bam.
It's a tribute. He means it as a tribute.
I mean, I get what it's for. It just, it's just not my favorite.
So I noticed at some point during the SC game on Saturday night, Caleb Williams went to the sidelines, and I think who was the sideline reporter? I think it was Holly Rowe was the sideline reporter.
Okay,
and she later described to the announcers that on the sidelines they were giving they felt his blood sugar might be off, and they were giving him applesauce and crackers.
Okay,
so I think that when I get back into the studio, I think that Bergman should always keep applesauce and crackers there.
I agree.
In case my blood sugar.
Yeah, Greg,
for your blood sugar.
Yeah, Greg, get work on that, will you?
I'll get the Mott's and the little thing for the the kids use.
Yeah.
Maite loves those little things.
The squeeze ones,
pouches. All right. So I have been trying to guess my Grubhub password, and I've been able to ask yes or no questions every day for the last, I don't know,
month.
2 years.
No, month. Mm-hmm. This has been going on for a month.
So
I've predicted several times that you're gonna get it. I will predict again, this is your week. This is the week you will determine the Grubhub password.
Okay, so I have asked questions about dogs, Venice, Juan, Jacob Imrani, the show, the station, Halloween, NFL, Toledo, donuts, my family, vacation, weed, the Lakers, food, something to do with technology, cars, and anything to do with a sponsor. And the answer has been no to all of those.
Correct. But okay, today you get another yes or no question that could open the vault.
Okay. Does it have something to do with food?
No.
Oh! This is killing me. Some guy in Phoenix knows, and I don't know what the hell is going on.
You were at home so much. You didn't reset the Grubhub password all over again that entire time?
Did not.
Wow.
No, I did not.
I'm saying, wow.
Wow.
Good for you.
Do you want to guess anyway, or do you have no guess with that? Now that I've given you no hint. Dinner in bed is not your Grubhub password.
Well, that has to do with food.
Yeah, we've got them all. Twisted in knots.
Yeah, you've got
now.
Me all twisted around. I've probably overcomplicated the thing.
Oh, very much so.
I really cannot wait. There was one time, I don't remember how long ago, I texted John when you talked about it.
You've talked about it pretty much every week for the 4 weeks you've been unable to figure it out. Yeah, you'll bring it up in conversation.
Oh, God.
You have not mentioned it today, if that helps.
All right, good. Well, let me know if I mention it right when I mention it.
No, that won't be happening.
All right. So,
do you believe in an announcer's jinx? Like, you don't like me to tell you that there's a no-hitter happening. You like me to send you, we have a code, I send Mason a note that says he always wants to know if a no-hitter gets to the seventh inning. So I will send him a note. I will say, special game, ESPN, Dodgers Giants.
Yes.
That way Mason knows how to turn on the TV. And if it's a perfect game, I will send him a note. Very special game.
Right.
You know, Dodgers Giants ESPN. Now, Vin Scully, the greatest baseball announcer who ever lived,
yep,
never hesitated to say the phrase no hitter. You felt like if the announcer did, it could jinx it, right?
I do feel like it can jinx it. An announcer can jinx a no hitter.
Now, I've never felt that way and argued vehemently the other day that I, like all the other times, I'll say, here's Lonnie Walker. He's made his last 29 free throws. And he'll miss. And Michael will go, there you go, Ireland. The John Jinx got him. You never should have mentioned it. Right. And I say, Michael, as much as I would love to have control and power over the universe, I have none. But maybe I'm wrong. Listen to Jim Nance. They were doing the game in Detroit. All right, you know, Lions always play on Thanksgiving.
Right.
So they're doing a game in Detroit, and the Lions kicker had been good this year. And Jim Nance basically looked at the announcer jinx and spit in its face. Here's Nance.
Do not talk to me about an announcer's jinx. Michael Badgley has not missed a kick all year, field goal or PAT.
Well, then I won't
even talk about it. 29 yards.
About it.
Here's Badgley's kick.
Oh, my gosh. Jim.
Oh, no.
I can't believe he did.
No.
Lion fans, I apologize.
Oh, boy.
All right, yes, so he just absolutely shanked it left. Should Jim Nance amend his position on the announcer's jinx?
Okay, well, I'm of two minds on this. First of all, John, there's part of me that says, no, you're absolutely right. Where we are and what we're doing has no impact. The announcer has no impact on what's happening on the field of play or on the court, right? And it's illogical to think so. And yet, I think it is logical that because of the secret that Jim Nance is putting out there, the jinx, and he is fulfilling it. The kicker is fulfilling it. So I am of the belief that there is such a thing as an announcer's jinx.
I'm starting to believe, as you know, I love conspiracy theories. I've now gone on the offensive with, like, if tonight I'm doing the Indiana Laker game.
Right.
If Buddy Hield comes to the free throw line and he's hit like 35 straight free throws,
yes,
I will beat it over the head of the audience, I will say.
Yes.
Here's Buddy Hield, who has made 35 straight free throws. Zero chance, Michael, that he misses this, right? And then hopefully I'll get him to miss it, and then I can take full credit.
Well, that's a reverse jinx.
Yeah, but I don't think I have any impact on whether or not the ball goes in.
Jorge, what about you?
Oh, yeah, we have proof, all kinds of proof that there's a jinx. We have this one. We had some last week. I mean, I believe it, yeah.
So there was another case of this last week?
Yeah, that's what brought up last week. Bergman, exactly. Are you in or out on the announcer jinx?
I'm absolutely in. It was a 29-yard field goal.
It was a very short field goal
that he shouldn't have missed. He probably wouldn't have missed if Jim Nance didn't say anything because he obviously could hear him in the booth.
I could not hear him. No, the other one that Jorge's talking about was Steph Curry had a free throw.
Yep.
And Kevin Harlan mentioned that he had made like 60 in a row, and he missed and turned around and looked right at Kevin Harlan because Harlan is, you can hear him. He's like right on the side of the court, and Steph heard him and then just stared him down after he missed it. But
he knew.
Yeah,
he knew.
I can't imagine there's a jinx, but why not? Let's roll with it.
Yeah, let's roll with it. So how much of the World Cup are you guys watching?
As much as I can.
Yeah.
Like if it's on, I've got it on.
Yeah.
Although today I did not do well. I've had stuff going on all morning. But tomorrow is when we have the must win, right? A true must win.
USA versus Iran tomorrow and, at 10 a.m. our time.
Jorge, we cannot tie, right? We have to win outright?
You have to win. You have to win, yeah.
And it's 11 a.m.
If there's a draw,
is that when it starts?
Do we not advance, Jorge?
No, well, it depends on the goal differential at this point. Because that group is so tight with points, it just comes down to goals. Who scored the most goals?
No. If it will absolutely.
Oh, I'm talking about my group. Sorry.
Oh, your group. Yeah, you're talking about your group. No, if you tie Iran, you're out. If you lose, you're out. You have to win.
Because you need the 3 points, right?
Yes, you need the 3 points because they have 2 points from the two draws that they already have, and Iran already
has a win.
Yes, has a win.
Well,
exactly.
I thought Team USA played really well against England.
Yeah, but there's something about
Christian Pulisic almost had that. That shot. He hit the crossbar.
By the way,
I thought it was right there.
Story this morning, Christian Pulisic
Might be going to Manchester United.
Wow.
That's talking about.
Well, story this morning. Wow. Lionel Messi might be going to the Miami
Inter
MLS
Miami.
Team.
Yeah, I'm hearing Inter that's Miami. Happening.
Wow. Next season.
Yeah. So yeah. When now, so if he comes to Banc of California, Jorge, are you going?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just to see Messi?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine a lot of people will go to MLS games. And, you know, Apple's got that new deal, too. Apple is going to be the official home of MLS starting next year. So I would imagine that's a boon for Apple and for the MLS that Messi would come over here and play.
They also signed Andres Cantor over the weekend, too.
Who did?
Apple.
Oh, so he's going to do some of the
yep.
games?
He's going to do some of the games.
Oh, good.
Wow. Yeah, that's the voice to get.
Yep.
All right, coming up next for you, you're going to spin the wheel of questions. It is my wheel today. Also coming up for you, if you want to sound more confident and secure, there are 10 phrases that you should ditch. I've got those
really?
Coming up for you too. Yes.
I'm quite confident and secure. I'm not sure I want to know these. It would make me less confident and less secure.
I'm absolutely going to tell you what they are. I have a feeling I'm guilty on a lot of these. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Okay, so, all right, so a witch has cast a spell on you, turning you into an inanimate, non-electronic object for a year. So not a phone, not a computer, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
To be changed back into human form before the year is up, you need to be able to get at least 100 people to touch you. Which inanimate object would you be?
Kim Kardashian.
She's an animate object, but that's a great answer.
Some people
it's
say
a great answer, but she is
get 100 people to
animate.
Touch me pretty fast. I think. Inanimate
your bodyguards wouldn't allow you.
Okay, no, it's and the object is to get it.
Have at least 100 people touch you in a year.
Okay, I think it's easy.
Okay,
doorknob.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I actually thought hand railing, but doorknob absolutely does work. It makes perfect sense. Jorge, is that where you were going?
No, I was going to go with a pen. I use one every day. So, a pen.
A pen.
Yeah. Same pen. Yeah, that would
Same
work.
Same pen. That would work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the doorknob to someplace that has a lot of traffic, like to a Starbucks, you'd be done in one day.
Oh, yeah. You'd be back in no time. Yeah, the Kim Kardashian answer doesn't work only because she's not inanimate. No, she's really not. she's definitely not.
I know. She was married to Kanye.
Yeah, it's true.
You probably got to play inanimate for a while. doorknob's the answer.
Yeah, it's an easy one. Okay. John, I came across this listing of the 10 phrases that you should ditch. They make you look insecure and arrogant.
Okay.
Okay, so let's. I'm going to read them off. You tell me if I've said them.
Yeah, okay.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mean to brag, but...
You've said that. I have not.
You've never said that?
No.
What
never.
If I told you...
You... That sounds like you.
Does that sound like me, Bergman?
I mean, a little bit.
I don't mean to brag, but... And no matter what, if you say, I don't mean to be
Yeah,
crass,
just brag.
But.
You don't have to preface it with that.
Right.
Just brag.
Okay. Uh-huh. I already knew that. In other words...
Oh, I hate that so
I've
much.
I've never said that. Because I know very little.
A coworker explains to you something, and you reply, "Of course, I already knew that." Bergman, that's
you know,
gets
my
on your
son
nerves?
Does that all the time. We have a new dog, and I the other day I said to I go, "Jack, you got to take Murphy out once an hour, or he's going to pee all over the floor." And he goes, "I already knew that." I go, "Well, then why didn't you take him out?" Yeah, that I'm with you, Mace. Eliminate that. That's an obnoxious saying.
Okay,
yeah.
Now.
That one's really annoying just because you're trying to just explain something to somebody and they say, oh, yeah, I already knew. But it's like, well,
yeah, it says
I'm
a
just
simple thanks or yes is a better way to respond.
I mean, I also do it also, so I probably should get rid of that. Yeah.
Number three, I'm pretty sure that. Now, this is my whole act. I'm pretty sure that is my game. I'm pretty sure that something happened involved. I mean, I use that phrase all the time. I'm pretty sure that. In other words, you're not certain. It's a guess.
Swag.
Swag.
I think I use that a lot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Caleb Williams only has 3 interceptions all year. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't see that one as being.
I don't know. We're sports talk radio hosts. Yeah. Got to have that in our back.
I like that one anyway, because then it also makes you lets the other person be like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, so it gets them kind of involved in it.
Right.
I have no problem with that one.
No offense, but.
Oh,
now,
offense.
You know, as soon as you say that,
yeah,
you're going to offend
somebody. Offense is coming.
Yeah. The offense is on the way.
I don't think anyone's ever said that without following that with something offensive.
Yeah. You probably don't know this, but. This is, it says it's dismissive or of someone's capabilities or knowledge. You probably don't know this, but, and then it's something obvious.
Well, in my case, I probably didn't know it.
How about
this
one?
I don't throw that around a lot.
You just don't get it. That's actually an Irelandism.
I've said that a lot.
You say that a lot.
Well, I say that sometimes about, like, we were talking about Carol Folt and Mike Bone. When they let Clay Helton coach a team that finished with 4 wins, I think, yep, I said that about both of them several times that year.
They don't get it.
They don't get the job that they've taken. You know, Carol Folt's president of USC, Mike Bone's the athletic director. Anybody in those positions that would allow a USC football team to go 4-9 or whatever they were, 4-8, doesn't understand that USC's front porch, their number one PR thing to the nation, is their football team. And then they eventually got it right. But that's an example of when I would use it.
Studies show that narcissists rarely admit their ideas might not be the right thing to do. And that kind of statement could make people suspect you are one. You just don't get it. In other words, it's my way or it's not right.
Yep.
So it's like my ex-wife used to say that to me all the time. And it just, you'd be in an argument and she says, you just don't understand. Like, I do understand, or just
I just disagree with you.
Yeah, or I disagree with you or explain
it to me. I
understand
it fine. You're wrong.
This is the one I get in trouble for this one. Agree to disagree. You cannot use that in an argument with your significant other.
Oh, you and I use that all the time.
I know.
You should use it.
You and I are different. I mean, we're on the radio. You and I are different than our spouses or our partners. Your wife, my partner, agree to disagree is just another way of saying you're wrong, I'm right.
Yeah.
And let me see if there's one last one. No, that's it. That's it. Those are the things. Using I and me too much. Now, I don't think that's not on me. I don't say me a lot.
I don't say me a lot. It's an example of using I and me. Yeah, that's not good.
I guess.
Hey, let me ask you guys, as Michael would say, a question.
He's here, by the way, somewhere.
Yeah, he's right. He's going to do Game of Games on Wednesday, but he may pop in here later and hang out. But okay, so you know that a trade that has been rumored, has been tied to the Lakers for months, is Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, who play here tonight.
Yep.
Coming to the Lakers. The Lakers would theoretically have to put both draft picks, the 27 and 29 number one picks, probably Russell Westbrook into the deal, however you want to figure it. But it's been rumored for a long time. All right. Yesterday, the Pacers played the Clippers at Crypto.com Arena. Ivica Zubac, the former Laker who now plays center for the Clippers, had 31 points and 29 rebounds. That is the most rebounds in an NBA game this season and one away from the league's fourth 30-point, 30-rebound game ever.
Wow.
Zubac actually fouled out with 3:40 to go. He made 14 of 17 shots from the field, and 12 of his 29 rebounds were offensive rebounds. So here's my question. I like Miles Turner. I've been very high on him all year. I think he's a really good player. Yesterday, Miles Turner was the guy guarding Zubac. Mm-hmm. He made 3 of 9 shots. He's 1 of 6 from 3. He scored 9 points, and he was out-rebounded by Zubac 29-5. And Ivica Zubac is not an all-star by any means.
No,
he's a good player. I really like Zoo, but he's just a guy. Does this give you pause about maybe trading for Miles Turner? Because I've said all along I would do it. I like Miles Turner. But I saw those numbers yesterday and went, whoa. If you're going to put your one big move is to trade for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, and he gets owned like this by Ivica Zubac, does it give you pause?
Yeah, the whole thing gives me pause to a point. By the way, do you remember who we got when we traded Zubats to the Clippers?
Yeah, it was that guy that shoots threes.
Mike Muscala.
Mike Muscala, yeah. Absolutely. The answer to a trivia question.
Yeah.
I noticed something that Dave McMenamin said on the Windhorst Hoops Collective podcast. And I think this kind of tells the story for where the Lakers are right now. He says, you know, and he's obviously well-sourced and all that stuff. He says what they feel is realistic is playing 500 ball until December 15th when deals start to potentially open around the league, because that's when contracts that were signed this past summer can be traded. And then maybe you can finally make this mythical draft pick trade that's been talked about for months and months and months sometime in late December, mid-January, and have that be an additional thrust to the type of basketball you've already been doing and that you've already got established. To me, I think, especially the way they're playing right now, I mean, they're on a pretty good roll. They won 5 out of 6. They're
right.
A hot team.
Yeah.
Have climbed back to respectability. If they can get to that point, I didn't realize that was the date. December 15th, all of this year's contracts become finalized. I think in the end, that's probably when they look to make a deal. That's when you probably fire the shots that you've got, which is those two.
Right, but would you be hesitant to trade for Miles Turner after what you saw yesterday?
No, I would not.
You write it off as just a bad day.
Bad day, I would. Because he's that's normally not Miles Turner.
Right.
That's normal. I mean, that's not a good game, obviously. But I'm, you know, his season, he's 18-8. You know, so he's averaging 18-8.
He's always among the league leaders in block shots. Hey, Michael, come in here for a second. Michael Thompson's in the other room. So I'll put this question to Michael. I try not to make. There's his entrance music.
Yes, it's got to have entrance music.
Michael, I'm asking a question. Did you see what Ivica Zubac did yesterday?
No, I missed it. What?
31 points, 29 rebounds.
Yeah, man, that young guy is underrated. He's a solid player.
Okay.
So every now and then, everybody has a bust-out game like that.
Right. So Miles Turner was the one guarding him.
Yeah.
Does that give you pause about trading for a guy like Miles Turner? Because he supposedly is available, if for the right price, in Indiana.
No, because I, Steve Mason, I put my headphones down. Can't hear what you're saying yet. Maybe Arlen can translate for me.
Okay.
As I get my headphones.
Or you could just plug your headphones in.
I'm trying to. I was a great, or I consider myself a great defender. Even I got lit up for 30-something points every now and then, Mace.
By who?
Rudy Tomjanovich did it to me. I'll never forget.
Yeah, but Rudy T was an all-star. Ivica Zubac isn't an all-star.
But he can play, though. Zug is, as we've seen against the Lakers, he dominates against us.
Yeah, he does play well.
But he's a good player. But every now and then,
the consensus seems to be that you guys are willing to give Miles Turner a pass on one game.
Yeah, everybody gets lit up.
Yeah, I mean, he's 18-8 with a 43% shooting percentage from three.
Yeah, but see, I've seen Clay when he was before he got hurt. He was one of the best two-way players in the game, and I saw him play great defense on Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie still got 30. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, sometimes it happens.
Yep,
there you go.
All right, coming up next for you, let's dive into let's do some college football playoff because I'm hearing from a lot of relatives back in Ohio. And I've got Ohio State fans in my family.
Oh, please.
Ohio State should go over USC.
Let me in on that.
Yeah. We will do that coming up. And also, Anthony Davis on Friday after the Spurs game, very excited about a Lonnie Walker tribute video. He says he wants one from the Pelicans when he gets Mason and I are 710 ESPN.